And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher, by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
All right. Good morning, anglers. And boy, do we have a fun show ahead for you today. We've got Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star Sport Fishing. Both Pete, I don't know what the heck's in his mind, man, going back to Michigan this time of the year for Thanksgiving. I guess it's all about family, right? So Pete out of town. Rick, we've got some big announcements about Rick, right?
Yeah,
Rick
yeah.
and family. But we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. We've got Captain Tim Ekstrom in studio when we return on Let's Talk About the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from point conception to Sankatine, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me. If you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
All right. Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. And as mentioned, Pete out of town. Rick, big news about Rick. You know what? I've got to introduce sharing the mic this morning and co-hosting duties with Mr. Brandon Bono. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
I've become a professional bench player, and here I am. They've called me in off the bench, but for all the best reasons. And, yeah, I can't wait to have Pete and Ricky back, but while they're away, we're going to have a great show today. A
lot of fun. And, you know, not only an honor to be in the studio and sharing the mic with you, but having Captain Tim Ekstrom in the studio. Good morning, Tim.
Morning. How we doing, guys?
Doing good. Excellent. Doing good. I appreciate, like I said earlier, I appreciate sitting in this seat, Tim, and having you on that end. It's always a fun show and good information and just good chat, man.
I always talk about how it's like the fastest 2 hours. It's just amazing. It just blows through. And, yeah. You know, what I really like about this about Pete's show in general is that, you know, all the topics that we wander off into, you know, it's the open mic, if you will. So,
yeah.
You know, for those of callers that want to ask questions, fire away about anything and everything to do with fishing, because that's what we do. We're fishermen. And there's nothing that we like to talk about more than fishing itself.
I agree with you completely. Well, yeah. What's happening on the boat?
Well, right now, I'm actually getting text hot off the water. Alex, Captain Alex Nati Padab, our incredible partner. I always say he's a 7 foot man trapped in a 5 foot five man's body.
Oh.
I'm telling you, he's incredible. He really is.
Yeah.
It was such a blessing that we had an opportunity to offer a partnership to Alex in Royal Star, and he has just continued to elevate our operation. I mean, he is just the epitome of what our operation has been about, and now he's brought his own you know, style and you know, he is just such an incredible leader. He's an incredible fisherman. He's just the whole package and then some. He is on the water right now at Tanner Bank. We left on a 3-day yesterday, late season 3-day, and they plied the local banks here, didn't catch a whole heck of a lot, so they made the move out to Tanner Bank, and as of this morning, they are engaged with 30 to 50 pound bluefin. He just sent me a picture of the meter. Good sign on the meter, good sign around the boat, so looks like there's some more opportunities developing out there. I know there's good water, and they've got beautiful weather, so.
And that's a good area to have them, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. This time of year, it's picture perfect. You know, yeah. It's where you want to be, and there's, you know, as many kind of bluefin, as much bluefin fishing as we've done, and you know, there's the nighttime, there's the daytime. There's really, and I'm gonna segue because we had the last 10-day trip that I was on earlier in the month. There's nothing better than being able to just stop, fish on the anchor. You know what I mean? Like work on your angling skills, fly lining baits. You know, it's just such an enjoyable style of fishing. You know, engines are off. There's something magical about just being able to stop and fish. And especially, I mean, it's been, and again, I don't knock one form of fishing or another because there's so many kinds, but there really is, you know, when you're that run and gun, you know, it just feels like you're always moving. You're out, you know, it has this pace that you know is nice to just step away from everyone,
right.
You know, just stop the boat and fish.
And there's a different art to fly lining live bait, like when you're in a drift versus on the anchor.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's a completely different
Absolutely.
Situation.
Yeah.
That anchor fishing is so much talent fishing, and there's no... it's hard to hone your skills if you don't ever get that opportunity to sit on anchor, be in competitions kind of with the guys standing to your left or to your right, and figure out how to get a bite when you're sitting still and they're coming to you.
It's a different presentation, right?
Yeah, and getting a bait to swim, you know, like when you're in that classic, that anchor condition where you have wind against current, you know, the lines are all going up onto the boat or off the bow, but there's bites to be had. You've got to get a bait out there, you know, and the long cast, you know, the nose hook long cast as opposed to, you know, belly hook underhand flip because you're getting bites right there. There's just what you said, Brandon, is spot on. There's so much time to actually work on you know, whatever skill it is you're trying to develop as opposed to that run and gun where you really don't. It's like wham, you know, everything happens, fish flying, bait flying, and boom, it's over. You're back underway. It's like, you know, you hardly even know what happened, as opposed to that, you know, hours on end of being able to finesse, cast a bait. If you work at it, you get a bite. You really do see, you know, that's what you can tell.
The talent rises.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where the talent rises to the top, but you also see the anglers. Like what my personal favorite. I mean, I'd love it. You know, fishing, and for us, obviously, it's an instructional experience. I tell everybody, almost every trip, I hit our anglers with the line. What I want to see more than anything is you step off this boat a better angler at the end of the trip than you were at the beginning of the trip. And you know, that whole anchor fishing is the ultimate opportunity to do that, because you see anglers develop their skill. You see them figure it out. It's like, oh, that guy's had 5 bites and I haven't had one yet. What am I doing? You know, what can I do to improve, or what's he doing? And you know, they adapt, figure it out, draw in one of the crew members, or, you know, we have a way also. You know, we follow the action along, and you know, you can tell if somebody's all thumbs. You go over there, hey,
somebody needs a little help.
Let's check your gear out. Let's see what's going on here. Let's get you dialed in.
Not only on the angler end, but there's a lot to the guy setting the boat up on a spot when you're anchoring too. Like that's probably equally or obviously way more important than
I got one that for since the beginning of my career that just blows my mind when it comes to tuna fishing, right? It's tuna. There's swimming all over, you know, there's a layer of them on the surface for a mile around. Drop the anchor and, you know, whatever, 50 fathoms on you know, a little ridge and you know, you get a few bites, whatever. Somebody comes in and drops it a quarter mile away from you. Bottom's the same. Looks the same. And they just start wailing away on them over there. Right there, you know, 400 yards away from you. And it's just like, why? Why there as opposed to over here? And there'll be a, or there'll be a little hard bottom spot. You know, maybe it's a, you know, a spot that's maybe the size of a football field, you know, or smaller. And for whatever reason, that hard bottom spot, you'll get twice as many bites, 10 times as many bites anchored up there as opposed to 300 yards
crazy
away from it, either side.
And it could be the direction of the current.
Or some little upwelling,
yeah,
some
right
little glitch there, whatever. But even more amazing, you'll see it year after year. Like, you know, obviously our plotters are just full of event marks, you know, and we locate these little honey holes, you know, and you put a mark there. And it's just amazing how year after year you'll go back and that one little, it'll be the same result the next year.
How crazy is that?
And you know, that's what it's got to be. There's something to do with the water. I got one. I'm being reminded of all these experiences, of course, as I'm telling
which
this
is fun. I love hearing it.
It was back in either the late 1990s, early 2000s. I was running Royal Star. Frank Lopresti was running Royal Polaris for Clarion. And Frank had, we just had phenomenal trips, incredible. I remember they filled Royal Polaris at the time with like 100 to 150 pounders, really good fishing. And there was this little spot in the ridge. It was at, we were fishing at Clarion Island. There was this little spot in the ridge, just one little wrinkle there. We were at one point like, you know, just over an eighth of a mile, 2/10 of a mile. We ended up, and we got our claws cleaned by a bunch of, we were just catching these giant ones and just getting ruined by them at the time. The gear wasn't quite as sophisticated or capable as it is now, you know. It was like a 300-pounder. You get about one out of 20 or one out of 30 of them. They just ruined us. Anyway, that trip we had, I want to say we had three 300-pounders. We had, you know, a handful of great big 200-pounders, probably hooked 25 or 30. All these big ones, and Frank on Royal Polaris filling the boat with 100, just over an eighth of a mile away, had one 200-pounder. Had no bites on those big ones.
How wow crazy is that?
Wow.
And every day we would hook like six or seven of them there. We weren't getting the 100-pounders. You know, we got a few of them, but we weren't getting them like he was.
You were getting the bigger ones.
Yeah, we're talking 400 yards.
Crazy.
500 yards. Like, how is that even possible?
Yeah.
You know those tuna are swimming over there, but,
right,
but why aren't they biting there, but they're biting, you know?
Crazy. And just the way they're swimming up the ridge and just barely missing.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
The single best, most productive long-range trip I ever went on in my lifetime, not that I've been on a ton, but the best one I ever went on was on the Royal Star. We were on the Hurricane Bank. Tim was driving, and it was the same setup. Like, we were on one part of the bank and steady picking at cows. I believe the Shogun possibly was down there as well, and they were on another portion of the bank, and they weren't catching anything. And there was times where the current would just, like a light switch, turn off or change directions or something like that. And then they would start getting bites, and we weren't getting bites. But then it would switch right back around. All of a sudden, we're two and three and four at a time catching cows, and they were not so successful. And I always wondered why.
That place is notorious for that. Position Alpha. When you have Position Alpha, it's the greatest thing in the world. But man, when you're in the nickel seats.
That's why we fish the Royal Star Sport Fishing,
well,
right?
I mean, it happens to all of us. You know,
right,
I'm not gonna, I don't have a monopoly on Position Alpha. I wish I did. But
so is there a name to the secondary position?
It's not the one you want to be in. There's a lot of names for him, but, you know, it's censored, so.
Yeah, right. So funny. But so Alex is getting them pretty decent, huh?
Well, you know, we're gonna get some more reports as it progresses, but he said they're getting steady bites now, and it looks good. I mean, the good news is, you know, another really cool topic we can go off on here. You know, here we are. It's the end of November.
So crazy.
And go back 10 years, go back 20 years, 30 years. If you even considered a 3-day trip at the end of November,
it's a
rock cut.
It's a rock cut.
Bust out the rail plates and the big handles and the electric reels.
The quote unquote freezer special.
Because that was the only thing you're going to catch.
Right.
I mean, and the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, this bluefin fishing and potential for it is just as good now as it was in August, as it was in June.
It's crazy.
In May.
I mean, we have been, for the lack of a better term, we've been blessed for 9 seasons.
Some may call it spoiled. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it's going to change. I mean, there's such an incredible biomass of this bluefin, and you know, mix in right now because. In you know, credit where credit's due, the guys that predicted, you know, the scientists who predicted that it was going to be a warmer water year late in the year. Not that it's that much warmer here, but certainly down below.
Down below it is.
Yeah, it's you know, that warm water is holding up, you know, down on the ridge and on the beach, you know, you're still looking at water in the upper 70s.
Like up to Point Eugenia, kind of?
Exactly. And above that, it's starting to level off. You know, it's kind of more consistent with what you expect at this time of year, mid-60s to high 60s. But all of that yellowfin that was up in here is still there.
And a beautiful grade,
wow,
right?
Incredible. Yeah.
Right.
And still readily available. And yellowtail on the beach. The reason I make these comments is we have this 3-day at the end of next week. It's Wednesday to Saturday next week. It's got a ton of room on it. It's got seven or eight spots now. We've had a couple anglers drop off. I'm looking at the weather forecast so far. It looks like it's going to be agreeable. It's a great time to squeeze in the late season 3-day. It's going to be like the private charter. We're going no matter what.
And the fishing for the last, I don't know, 7 to 10 days had kind of backed off a little bit, right? But the last few days, it's back on.
Well, like, you know, I mean, as expected, you know, it's going to have its peaks and valleys. And we had that little kind of weird weather system that went through. It didn't really blow up too bad. But
some northerly weather.
Yeah, and they just, you know, I mean, what it seemed like happened, all that fish was super concentrated up here local, and it just blew up. I mean, guys coming up from down below started seeing fish way down there in the 30 block again, the 29 block, down outside of Colonnette, the upper end of the 30 block. All this bluefin just kind of scattered out and blew up.
So crazy.
Yeah, it's all over the place. I mean, there's hundreds of miles of scattered bluefin now, you know, just a little bit here, a little bit there. It's a matter of time before it all bunches up again.
And so this 3-day, I mean, 7 spots, that's crazy, right? I mean, that's to say there's one or two open spots would be kind of normal, but 7 spots open. I mean, leaving on November 29th.
Yeah, Wednesday the 29th.
And then through December 2nd. So if somebody wanted to jump on that, Tim, what's the best route?
All they got
to
do is give us a call there, Royal Star Sport Fishing, 619-224-4764, or go on the website, check it out. But if you need that final push, if you need something to get you over the edge, I'm available in the office. Brian's here ashore. We'll talk you into it.
How about that?
Yeah. If you want us to, you know, talk to your wife and convince her that it's okay, you know, just give us a call. We'll do that, too. Whatever it takes.
I like your style, man.
It's all good. And I'm looking right now at the weather forecast. It's beautiful. Yeah, it looks like our guys are going to have good weather, good fishing conditions. Yeah, here local, down below, are going to be good.
And being on a 3-day, I mean, it opens the options a little bit, getting down, maybe some yellowtail on the beach.
Yeah, I think coastal, it looks like, is probably going to be the better run. Outside, it looks like it's going to be windy. But, you know, that, again, it opens up that coastal fishery. I mean, there's a huge stretch all the way down. You know, this is a great time of year for that stretch of coast. You know, we call, you know, fishing the beach down there around Canoas. You know, up above that, you know, above Sac Reef, outside Sac Reef, there's all kinds of good potential in there, too. Lots of variety opportunities. And I still think, again, down below, I think that that yellowfin is going to be readily available. The guys, everybody coming up on those the trips in prior to Thanksgiving saw that yellowfin scattered all over out in front of, you know, throughout the top end of the 28 block, 29 block, 30 block. So
the guys bringing yachts up and down. I mean, I've heard of some crazy amounts of yellowfin, like in tight. And well, I mean, is that, explain it, is that normal? I mean, do you usually see a little bit? Because they're saying it is so corroded. It's like,
yeah, it's not abnormal. I mean, we have seen that in the past. This is just a particularly good year. I mean, this has been an incredible year on that beautiful grade of yellowfin, which started out, you know, when we first started running those trips down below. There was a lot of, let's call it 25 to 30 pound fish, 20, you know, 22 to 32, so, you know, 25, 30 pounders. Well, now it's the same fish. I mean, it was just corroded. We saw a lot of it up here local.
It was a crazy grade locally. I mean, 30 to 50 pounders. Right. It was ridiculous.
It's the same fish. Yeah. They've just been eating good for the last 3 months.
Right.
Now they're all 35, 40 pounders. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, these things grow fast. You know, they double their weight in a year at that age. So you think, you know, 3 months, hey, man, they've been packing around the grocery.
I mean, I was fortunate enough to catch a couple locally in that 35-pound range, and they're so fatty. They start to gain that fat and just get beautiful at that size.
To me, that is like the perfect size, especially for local fishing. You talk about the perfect size sport fish, you know what I mean, for rec angling.
Yeah.
Because
catchable.
Yes. Right.
But challenging.
They give you a heck of a battle. They're challenging, especially, you know, when it gets into that, like we were talking about, long drift, fly line, but you got to drop down to your 25 or 30 pound. What an epic battle on, you know, bust out your Talica 12 or, you know, any reel in that size, you know, with your long rod, your, you know, 7 or 8 footer and your 25 pound, your fluorocarbon. Epic, you know,
right?
Going around the boat 3 or 4 times, you know, 20 minutes straight up and down forever.
So catchable, even I can get one. Hey, we're gonna have a fun show ahead of us today, having Captain Tim Ekstrom in the studio. I mean, talking about everything going on down south, bluefin outside of here, Tanner and the boat doing well, and we're gonna get fresh reports, and we've got a pretty cool giveaway, too.
Yeah, yes, we do. One lucky caller or texter will win a full-day trip aboard the Liberty from Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. So,
how cool is that, right? I mean, we're looking at the Liberty right here. What a beautiful day outside of here. And
gorgeous day, gorgeous boat, and you should be calling or texting. We've already got some great ones in.
And to give us a call would be 213-432-1090. Yeah, or you can text us via the app, only done through the app. A lot of text coming through. Phone lines are full right now. But when we do return on the Let's Talk a Cup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, we're going to be taking those calls, text to more when we return on the Let's Talk a Cup app. Thank you.
Long range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag 2-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body. When throwing jigs, the Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability, you'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo Zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
End the year with powerful deals on new Yamaha outboards during Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales event. From now until December 15th, 2023, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 4 50 to 30 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of warranty protection. Add a Siren 3 Pro package to your purchase of a 115 horsepower and up and receive a bonus $1,000 in dealer credit and half off your Siren subscription. Looking for lower horsepower? Yamaha's got you covered. Purchase a new Yamaha 25 2.5 horsepower outboard and receive up to $300 in dealer credit. Visit your local Yamaha dealer. Yamaha, reliability starts here.
Offer ends December 15th, 2023. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. 24-month Yamaha extended service added to 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents with a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
As the inventor and world leader in fluorocarbon, Seaguar has you covered with 4-liter choices to help you catch more fish. Gold Label is Seaguar's thinnest and strongest leader. Fluoro Premier has a thin diameter with high break strength and softness. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions. From 2 pounds to 400 pounds, pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Been having so much fun in studio with Tim Ekstrom, and lines are full. But if you do want to give us a call, 213-432-1090 is the telephone number, or you can text us via the app. Remember, it's a one-way deal, so make sure you leave your name and telephone number. And we're giving away a really cool prize today, too, Brandon.
Absolutely, yeah. One lucky caller, texter, is going to get a full-day trip on the Liberty.
I know, cool, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so... Huge congratulations to the Maxa family, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Rick and Dallas.
Yeah, we're very, very proud of them, and they just gave birth to their second son, well, Dallas did, on Tuesday, to James Waylon Maxa. He came out at 8 pounds, 15 ounces. He was 21 inches long, and
that's
mama,
a keeper.
Mama and baby's doing great, doing perfect, and they're just, we couldn't be happier for them. They're special people, and they're building this beautiful family, and we're very, very happy for them.
I would have to say, little guy's been born in a royalty.
No, no doubt. No,
Sport
no.
Fishing royalty.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Here.
He stands to inherit maybe one of the world's best fishing tackle collections.
Right? I know it. Oh, my gosh. No, but congratulations to Rick and Dallas and the Maxa family there. Yeah, for sure. Well, should we jump into it?
Yeah, why not? Let's talk to, how are you doing, Tom in University City?
Yeah.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning. Well, congratulations to Dallas and Rick. Glad to hear everything went well there. Hey, when you started the show, you were talking about, fishing on the anchor, how you can improve your skills. I've been fishing maybe 15 years and listening to the show regularly, getting out there quite a bit. I feel like I'm pretty good, but, I'm interested in Tim's opinion on whether some people are just a natural at fishing, because I feel like the people who don't fish very much think I'm good, but then I get on the boat and there's other people they just seem to have it. Are you born with it or do you learn it? That's kind of the question I wanted to throw out for you.
So I think there's some of both, no doubt, but I am 100% convinced that some people are just naturals at it. I've seen, boy, we have this one angler, he really a standout in my mind. Tony Gallardo is the name. He is just incredible. The guy gets more bites than anybody I've ever seen it. And it's like, it doesn't matter what kind of gear. I learned after the fact that he's a professional bass angler.
Okay.
Right? So he's super observant. Guy comes out fishing, hasn't done this kind of fishing before, right? This is like 5-6 years ago. And just starts wailing on him. We're bluefin fishing, flat falling. He's just wailing on him, getting way more bites than everybody else. And then, the next day it's fly line fishing. He's wailing on him, getting way more bites. We go down below on a trip a few years later. He's there, yellowtail. He's just wailing on him.
And he's never done it before.
No.
Well,
he's just an incredible angler. He's amazingly observant.
Yeah.
And he was on a trip where we sat out a couple of days we spent on the anchor at Tanner Bank. One day was really good fishing. The other day was, kind of good. But, again, he's just, underhand flipping. And the condition, there was almost no current. It was a lot of that slack time where the boat's just swinging sirloin. You're doing the Benny Goodman, back and forth, 100 yards this way, swinging 100 yards that. And you really had to be savvy in that, you sense which way the boat is, on the swing. Okay, now we're on this swing. You go to that downwind side, flip it out. That way your boat, your bait goes away from the boat as the boat's swinging this
direction. Like maximizing your outer swing.
Yeah, exactly.
Swing. Yeah.
You cast out on that side, whatever it is, and as the boat swings away, now you have, you have that extended period of time, or you extend your period of time where that bait is actually, away from the boat or is swimming down and away rather than the boat swinging over the top of your line.
You mentioned something I caught, and it's the underhanding cast, because a lot of guys think they're maximizing by getting that bait out with an overhand cast, but if you're not so savvy, you're killing your bait on the way out, and the toss and the slap on the water, and sometimes that inexperienced guy or gal might have a better chance of just underhanding, like getting the bait out there cleanly.
Yeah, if you can get one to swim.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, as you guys know, if you get that perfect one, you flip it out there, and he, head first, no splash, the perfect splash down.
Yeah.
that bait will swim. Hmm. That bait will take off.
Like a champion.
Like a champ. Way more so than, you know, if you body slam the thing. And,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it does make a difference. And the other, you know, if you have a moderate wind day, you go to the nose hook, you know, if distance is really key, just getting it way the hell out there because there's very light current or current going up into the wind. And if you nose hook that bait, you can, you know, when you nose hook a bait properly, it's super firm and bony there, and you can put a hell of a lot of English into a cast. I mean, you can cast that thing like a jig, you know,
right.
Especially when you're using heavier gear. I mean, you can get it up into the wind, you know, the sky hook, and that thing will go way the heck out there. You know, you can get it out there 60, 80 feet if you have a, you know, you put a good cast together, put some practice into it.
And with the
what
experience.
An advantage.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge advantage. The thing is way the hell out there, and I've seen it, you know, from once, I've seen it a million times in the past 30-something years where you'll get that quick bite, you know, even on the anchor when it's not that good of fishing, you whip one way the hell out there and you've got that sucker that's been eating a chum, you know, he's been, you know, swimming around out there having his cake and eating it too, and then you get one presented out there a long way.
He,
you know,
thinks that, he's getting his next slice of cake.
Exactly. He gets it too.
Is there a more important thing or aspect to it than bait selection?
Well, I think that plays into it too. But, you know, it's really, you know, we go back to are there natural anglers? They're natural. You know what? I think that the best anglers are super observant. They're very keen to all these little details. You know,
like
these,
that freshwater bass guy.
Yeah, these little things that make a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between getting a bite, you know, every other bait or just getting a, you know, a large percentage of bites as opposed to there being a luck factor in it. You know, when, and yes, sometimes, you know, you just see people just get hot, you know, no matter what they use, it seems like they catch a fish. That, there's a big difference between that and somebody who's just consistently putting those bites together. And that to me is the biggest difference. It's just this awareness. I'll use another example. Stas Velinakis.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Stas,
the man. Incredible.
Yeah. You know, one of the greatest anglers in every respect. But you'll see Stas, you know, he just sits up top and he'll watch, you know. And you know, anglers are down there, you know, putting their time in, hammering away at it, changing their baits, doing all this. And, you know, there's those little windows when the fish come through, and he's just uncanny. He'll sit there and watch and watch and watch, and okay, now's the time. He'll go down, pin one bait on, you know, hook a fish, and everybody's like, "Are you kidding me, man?
Right?
That guy's been sitting up there, hasn't been fishing. I've been pinning baits on all day."
But he can see if there's only five birds on the water, he can read exactly what's going on.
He's
been there,
he's
done it,
and he senses it. And,
yeah.
And there is a sense, and you know, I'll use my own fishing experience. I can't tell you how and you know this. You guys know this. You're an incredible angler yourself.
Well, thank you. I'm nowhere near Stas.
But you actually you are.
Stas is the man.
But you know, like how do you know? How do you sense it? It's like we'll be, you know, me in the captain's seat. I'll be driving around and you know, you catch nothing. You're catching a few fish, whatever. And then you get into an area where, like, something, you know, you see a school and it's like they just start biting different, and you just know it's like, oh, we're gonna
watch out,
we're gonna whale on the, like, something, like, we're on to it now.
Yeah.
Like, here we go. And, you know, how do I know that? How do I sense that? Just it's an instinct thing.
And you know? You've experienced it. You've been there, done it. You've seen it enough times that you know what's laying out. Like, you've seen the A, B, and C, and you know exactly the...
Sure, there's that, but I knew it when I was 16.
Yeah.
I knew it when I just felt it.
But that's... Yeah. I mean, that's... It's in your blood.
Now the learned part of it... Sure, there's no doubt, you know,
that little knuckle on the ridge or that little wrinkle,
and as far as it's just the skill, I mean, can you acquire that skill? I don't know if you can acquire that instinct, but you certainly can acquire the skill where, you know, it's like a I don't know, let's use a musician as an example. You know, there are some musicians that are just, I mean, they're just magic. You know, they could sit down in front of the piano and you know, within, you know, a day, master the thing.
Carlos Santana with a guitar, man. Right. You know, just got it going, right?
Whip it out Beethoven. Whereas somebody also can study it, practice it, you know, put in 5 hours a day for 5 years and become a master at it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So you can master angling by putting in the time, but the instinct thing now, that's...
Yeah, it just inherited.
I think it will, you know, and the more time you put on the water, as you mentioned, you will develop, you know, you'll develop that sense.
Of sensing the ABC and lining it all up.
Yeah, the what and why.
Well, that was Tom sparked some great conversation. Thanks for the call, Tom. Let's get back into it.
Let's go to Mike in San Carlos.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Well, hi, guys. Hey, I have this idea about catching big fish on small line. You start off with, just a swim bait on 10, 12, 15-pound test line. And when you hook up, you immediately put on a heavy line that has like a safety pin that connects you to the light line. And at the end of your heavy line, you have a big old weight that's just covered with hooks, so it slides down the light line and right into the mouth of the fish that you're hoping to catch.
Yeah, very interesting, Mike. Again, appreciate the call this morning too, Mike.
Try it.
Yeah. What a concept.
Give it a whirl.
No, seriously. You'll have to get back to us.
Revolutionary, Mike.
I'll tell you guys something, and this is true. I have got to the point in my fishing, you know, career, my life, where I don't care what it is, try it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sure. I can tell you, I learned a lesson early. I think I was 16 working on Pacific Queen, and, you know, an angler was from out of state and had the ugliest jig I've ever seen in my life, Charles. I don't know what the hell it was. Just festooned with these weird colors, and I didn't know what it was. He's like, you know, okay, what do you think if I troll this? And I'm like, oh, that thing's not going to get big. I'll put on a Mexican flag or a zucchini, you know, that's what they've been biting. And, you know, he's like, well, I'd really like to try this. I said, whatever, you know, but you're not going to catch anything. Of course, you know, 3 minutes later,
right? Exactly.
Albacore.
Really?
It was an albacore. Yeah. We were albacore fish at the time, but
yeah,
it was by far the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. But I sure, man, he was so triumphant. He was lorded up all day. Kid knows what he's talking about.
Oh, he was the man, right?
Oh, yeah. Not one time ever since then have I said, no, don't put that on. I was like, knock yourself out, man.
I love that. He trolled up an albacore, and now he is the man.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was right.
I've got a good text here. It says, good morning, guys. What are some common mistakes you see for newcomers on the long-range game? And any tips for guys with local trip experience? And it sounds like Jack from LA Gardens might want to go on this three-day, right?
Yeah, I think that the biggest, I don't know if I call it a mistake, but I
common.
What I see anglers that are new to that kind of fishing, they'll exhaust themselves by going too hard. Mm-hmm. You know, like there is such a thing as trying too hard at it. And one of the benefits of a long range trip is that you have time to fish. You have time.
And you mentioned Stoss. Stoss is the one upstairs watching the guys exert their energy.
Previously, I didn't want to derail it too bad, but it's more praise to Stoss. And I, for a decade, I heard stories about this legendary angler that would go on long range trips named Stoss. And I went on my first ever long range trip with him, and he blew my mind with his technique in pulling on fish. He was an inspiration to me because he is also tall and skinny. I'm tall and skinny, and I've only ever had my hindquarters handed to me by big fish. You know, like I've always got whooped on. And after watching his technique in pulling on big fish, it totally changed my game. Like, and I asked him all kinds of questions and picked his brain. And I'll never be good at Stoss at pulling on a big fish. He is unreal at that particular, well, at many things, but that particular aspect of fishing. But that's one thing that I did wrong that many guys around me, and I've seen guys do wrong for so long, just go all out while they're pulling on a big one and just exert all of their energy and all their lactic acid goes to their muscles and they just can't hang. And when in reality, you're better off putting yourself in a comfortable position, breathing through your nose.
Let the fish
kind of turn the handle.
It's just leverage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, if you understand leverage, you can accomplish a whole heck of a lot without, you have to exert yourself, but like you said, you don't have to blow it out and try to grind the thing through the guides in the first 5 minutes. You just apply good, steady pressure, drag. You know, drag is key.
Mm.
And most anglers, they use way less drag than they should, especially fishing on big ones. Like, in order to get the job done, you have to put a lot of pressure on them with drag. And just, I mean, you can basically hold on to the pole and use your body weight and, you know, peel, put line on the reel while you're grinding with good steady drag, and you know, you don't have to overexert yourself. But you know, again, going back to the question,
Jack from Allied Garden,
with what novices, you know, some advice I could dispense to make your long range trip more enjoyable is, again, take your foot off the throttle a little bit and fish your heart out for sure, but recognize that, you know, sometimes, you know, more is less, and you do have to spend some time observing and taking it all in also. Mm. You know, one thing that is far different, there's a lot of things far different, but, you know, one thing that's far different nowadays in the whole long-range experience is there's much more focus on, again, the overall experience. It's not just about going out there and filling the boat full of fish like a bunch of madmen, and, you know, like, there's so much
having
more.
A good time, yeah. The food that comes out, right. Eight times a day.
The scenery, the scenic, yeah, element. You know, you're out there on the ocean, and you know, that's an amazing part of the trip that you know, you're really missing the boat, so to speak, if you don't take that all in.
I'll tell you, on my end, like, when I go offshore, and I'm not a big offshore guy, as you know, Tim, but when I do go, dude, I humpback whales jumping, like, are you kidding me? I'm having the time of my life. Mm. You know, 1,000 common dolphin, and I'm running along. I mean, it sounds kind of funky, but dude, I'm out having a good time, regardless of whether I catch a fish or not.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not crazy. I mean, look at look at all of our, you know, most people's experience in the aggregate is not that, you know,
right.
I mean, that's a pretty rare, it's a rare opportunity to observe, you know, it's like, you know, Wild Alaska or whatever. It's
right.
You're out.
You do those, yeah, fin whales, you know,
with a bubble.
There's so many times. Listen, there's so many times that I had foamers, and there was a school of anchovy up, and the darn fin whale could just blow it all through and take it and yellowfin off to the next one. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? Just cool.
One of, yeah, my single favorite, yeah, aspects of long range fishing that often gets overlooked is these areas in which you go to, you would never go to for any other reason. You would not have access any for any other purpose, and if you can just kick back, relax, and realize this is a break from reality, this is a break from the world. You have the beautiful scenery, you get to go to these super far out unique places and experience wonderful fishing, and you put that all together, the long range fishing is amazing, and it's a special thing that we have here.
And we're pretty well blessed having our SoCal bite, like, full of life right now. I mean, there's times where I can remember in past decades where it was kind of slim, but man, there's so much life in the bite with chovy and the whales and with all the bluefin, right? I mean,
yeah, up and down the coast. I was going to make that point. We really have been blessed with unbelievable abundance in, you know, be it bluefin, be it yellowtail, be it yellowfin, be it, you know, all the other bottoms, like everything combined. We've been in a living a very blessed life. So, you know, that time to stop and smell the roses has been.
It's right here, right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been. There's been a lot more of it because, you know, again, this incredible abundance. You know, we use Mexican limits as an example. They're incredibly generous. I mean, you know, 30 fish total, 15 of any one species. That's a lot of fish.
That's,
man,
a lot of,
that's
fish,
a lot, especially when
a
they
lot.
Start. You know, when you get tuna in, even in that 30 to 40 pound class, which is that's been the majority of the grade this year. You know, you think about it, it's like, man, you get 15 of those, you got 500 pounds.
No, you're
fish.
Doing.
Like you got a lot, and then you throw in 15 other fish. So there's a lot of time, and credit to all of our anglers that the vast majority of them, you know, they self-regulate now, you know, in no small part because we all adhere strictly to the limits and we keep track of the fish as they're going down into the tank. You know, every fish is recorded as we put it down in the right column next to your number. So, you know, the anglers can, they can consult that tally board at any time during the trip. They see, so, ooh, I got seven of these tuna now and five yellowtail and this, and, you know, they kind of haven't figured out how much they want to keep.
Like, I've got enough tuna, and okay, yeah. I want more yellowtail.
So that provides the opportunity for them to pull the throttle back a little bit, and it's like, there's nothing I like more than when we get to the point where there's still wide open fishing going on, and you're down to, like, the last five or six anglers, you know,
yeah, right?
Go-getters that are, you know, they're still wailing away. Everybody else is like, knock yourself out, champ. You
exactly.
I'm
so
good.
Funny.
You know, they're hooting and hollering, it's, whistling, and, you know.
It's a good point to mention that this portion of the show is brought to us by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. It's perfect segue, right, Tim? The best processing for your fish when your trip returns, plus with Fish Pros Market, you can purchase their famous spices or rubs or poke kit. Stop by the location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can order online at fishmansprocessing.com. Be sure to make your reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. And when we return on the Let's Talk Cook About the Mightier 1090, we've got some breaking news with Fishman's Processing that we're going to talk about. You stay tuned. It's Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. Let's Talk Cook Up on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Summer is here, and gas prices are going up, up, up. So now more than ever, you need Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Pull up to the newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get low, low gas and diesel prices for your car, truck, and boat. They now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, plus 12 diesel boats, plus 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum 35-gallon fill-up. Easy in and out, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you on things you can use. Fresh-made burritos, sandwiches, salads, along with beer, beverages, and, of course, always free ice. So many Let's Talk Hookup listeners have taken advantage of Summit Gasoline's low prices, great service, and free ice. They've become the largest filler of fresh gourmet ice in Southern California. Summit also sells frozen bait and fishing licenses 24 hours a day. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
All right, talking all this bluefin, and what else will we be talking about then? Shimano, right?
Yeah, Shimano's done it again. You know, they took the already best-selling single best lever drag two-speed on the market, and they've improved it somehow, some way.
How could they improve it, right?
Well, they did. They introduced the new Shimano Talica 12A and 16A.
Are they in the shop now?
They are in the shop now, and there's more to come, more sizes and more options, but somehow, some way, they made that reel free spool better, have more sturdy drags, more buttery feel overall, casts incredibly well.
Yeah, if you haven't had the pleasure of using one, I'm just going to put it out there, get ready, because if you do use one, you're going to buy one. I mean, they're that good. They are just heaven to fish with, especially this grade of fish that we've been talking about. There's, you know, you guys know I'm a Shimano guy, and there's a lot of other good products on the market, but Shimano, just there is nothing better. They have perfected it, and the durability of their products too. I just can't speak highly enough. They don't fail. They don't break.
Shimano Talica,
the Shimano Talica A series, and currently they have 12 and 16 out in stores now. And
there it is.
With more sizes to come, but the single best lever drag two speed on the market.
Step in your local shop and get them, or check them out at Shimano.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having so much fun and just having a great time in studio. We're giving away a full day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing.
Yeah. If it's going to go to one lucky caller, they can give us a call at 213-432-1090, or they could give us a text via the app. But make sure you, when you do text, leave your name and number, because it is a one-way text via the app.
And that's exactly it, right? And we're going to flip a coin at the end of the show. We'll have Captain Tim Ekstrom flip the coin at the end of the show, so that Liberty Trip will go to one lucky caller or texter, and one open line, but let's go ahead and jump into it.
Let's talk to John in Colorado Springs. Good morning, John. How are you,
John?
Good morning, guys. My question to Tim, I have two questions. When you're fishing the 300-pounders, what size line do you fish, and what's your bait of choice?
Well, it's a broad question there, because 300-pound, you know, yellowfin, bluefin, you know, I think, let's just talk about fly lining sardines. We'll use that as the and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about bluefin or yellowfin, because both apply. I would be fishing with a top shot of 130-pound fluorocarbon for sure, not lighter, 130. And then, you know, attach that to, you know, 100-pound plus Spectro, like the 130, or the Brandon's going to jump in here and save me. I got to tell you guys, I'm not the big, you know, the gear is not my specialty.
You don't get geeked out on that end of it, but you know how to use it.
Yeah, I know what I want to use, but you know, you tell me about line sizes and particular styles. I'm not the most knowledgeable, but 1,000% you want to be using 130-pound top shot. The difference between 130 and 100-pound is, you know, it sounds, oh, it's only 30 pounds more. How much stronger can it be? It can be a lot stronger. It's actually, like, it's exponential. I think that 130 is twice the strength of 100 pounds.
Oh, is that right?
It's a completely different animal. You know, 100-pound, it's a feat to get one of those big bastards on 100-pound. It is. 130-pound, you're in the driver's seat. You're like,
large of a difference.
Huge.
Huge.
Absolutely massive. Yeah.
Crazy.
Especially when his specific question is about a 300-pounder. You know, if you got to choose, yeah, certainly feed them the 130. Don't go out there with 100-pound. And your 130 would marry perfectly to 100-pound hollow quality Spectra of any kind. You know, it could be Power Pro, Iserline, what have you, but certainly in the world of 300-pounders and presenting a sardine to one of them, you'd probably start with 100-pound or 130 hollow braided line to 130-pound fluorocarbon, and it's a huge difference.
Yeah, I'd go with that 130 across the board. If you got the hollow 130 Spectra, that's, you know, again, best advice I could give you, and use the biggest hook you can get away with. You know, sometimes you have to step down if the fish are twitchy, you can't get a bite. But again, you're talking about fly line and baits. Use the biggest hook you can, because it's going to make a difference. You know, the difference between a 4-0 and a 6-0 in a semicircle style, Mutu style, the 6-0 is going to win.
Superior. Would you have an ideal size to marry to, like, a sardine?
It's going to depend on the size of the bait.
Sure.
You know, bigger sardine, again, I'd go with the 6-0. I'd even go with a 7-0 if I could get away with it. You know, if you're not getting bites or the fish are twitchy, you got to drop down. Well, you got to do what you got to do. But you don't drop down in your line size. I know that.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Not when you're fishing for those big ones.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good information there. Let's. They are full. Actually, one open line with that one dropping, but we'll get back into it.
How about we go and talk to Chuck and Dana Point? Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, you guys. My dog. Great, man, great. So it's about time to put my big stuff away. I plan on going out next week right after I get this load done. But I see these guys with the small anchovies, and he was practicing like a slingshot. He'd hold the hook above the fish, put his rod almost to the boat, and when he let go, he had tension on it, and he would sling that little chovy out. You ever try that?
I have it.
Kind of weird.
It seems like it would knock the bait off, you know, like bend the rod tip and choo, fire right. out there. It sure seems like it would knock the bait off. I can't say I've tried that one. I think the overhand creating that big arc, that's probably the better of the two methods. That would be my guess. But I'm not really sure what you're talking about. So maybe there's something new that came along.
It's hard to picture, but there is a technique of casting that I don't even know the basics of. But I've only ever seen guys, of Tim's level, like legendary guys in our industry that had mastered this technique. And it must have been well before my time. But it's like I've seen. I've seen Buzz Brizendine do it. I've seen Scott Mizell and the Condor do it. But it's like where you would swing the bait into the boat and you would slap the spool on your reel forward, and it all goes into one motion, and you could launch a bait out, whether it was a sardine, anchovy, or what have you.
Yeah, so we used to do this all the time with those little, with anchovy, that's where it came from. But you swing the bait out underhand, and at the same time, with your I use my left hand, but between my thumb and index finger, you flick the spool as you come underhand with it, so you get the spool
rolling. Rotating before that takes tension on the choke.
You'll get another 20 feet of distance.
Tim, I have to laugh.
Difference.
Because I want to say there's a generation, but I think there's at least two generations of fishermen that have no clue of fishing with only anchovy.
Hmm.
Like,
there's like four generations.
Thank you.
I mean, when was the last time we had...
Seriously.
That was how we fished in the 80s when I was growing up, 70s, 80s.
That's when I was on the bait boat. Seriously.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean...
Even the first few years that I started long-range fishing in 1986, 87, 88, we had no sardines.
Nothing.
That's why... an 8-day trip became a 9-day trip, became a 10-day trip, and those extra days were for catching mackerel along the coast. I mean, that's all you had were anchovies. But up here, just that finesse element, I mean, that's epic fishing. It's so
fishing
much fun.
With chovy.
Yeah. I can tell you, we had a, this was a couple, 3 years ago, we were fishing out of Guadalupe. There was a 2-month period where we had a bunch of little sardines mixed in, little firecrackers,
little guys. 4-inch?
Oh, no, way smaller than that.
Oh,
little,
wow.
2-3-inch little guys.
But those don't seem to live very well at all.
They were living. They were living fine. But they were mixed in with the big bait, right?
Yeah.
So here we are again, going back to that anchor fishing scenario.
Yeah.
Fish boiling around. We had all nice, beautiful bait. You got... we got a handful of fish on those bigger ones, but fish boiling around, you put one of those little sardines on there on, 30 or 40 pound line, flick it out there.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. It was just like
crazy.
It was like magic. And there were a handful of us who had experience with that kind of fishing, that kind of casting. I'm not kidding you.
And 90% had not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I had days I'd hook 30 or 40 of them. It was all quick bites because, they're boiling around in that little bait. But everybody, of course, wants to use a big one.
Exactly.
And you just, let me see your rod.
Right.
And they're flicking at her, bam.
Wow. And they're just something.
You have 8-9 going,
There's something special. I mean, it's kind of a, I don't want to say a negative, but there's something special about having a tank full of like usable 3.5-4-inch hook bait, but with a lot of 3-inch for chum, whether it's yellowtail, tuna, bass fishing, whatever it might be. There's just something special in my mind about having that for chum.
We've had that the last month. There's been a ton of that smaller sardine, like that 3-4-inch bait. That's been the vast majority, even almost the entire load that we've been taking down, down the ridge, Olejos Rocks. Almost no big bait mixed in it, but the fish are, they bite the daylights out of it. I remember, going back to the 300-pounder thing, there were a couple long trip seasons, one in particular, that's all we had was that 3-inch sardine, not tiny, not the little firecrackers, but, just big enough to use. And you wouldn't think you'd catch any. There's no way in your mind you could think that one of those, 200-pound tuna is going to eat that little tiny sardine. You put that thing out there on a 4-0 hook, 130-pound line. I mean, it's like stupid.
Wow.
You know, you look at it and go, there's no way.
No way.
We fill the boat using those things. You know?
How cool.
Yeah, they're down there swimming, slurping those. Down.
That's such good.
There's a lot of times that happens where those fish, they'll slurp down those little baits. They get locked in on it.
And the thing is, how many 3-inch baits can a fish eat versus, you know, 7 or 8-inch baits? I mean, there's a huge difference.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've dressed a lot of tuna in my life now.
Yes.
And you know,
a few.
You know the number of times that I've seen in the wild, natural, that I've seen a sardine that's, you know, 5 or 6 inches in a tuna's stomach that didn't come from our boat? Never.
No, oh, is that right?
Yeah. Almost all the feed that those fish eat offshore, it's little stuff.
And
you know,
so
it's little micro bait, it's small sardine, small anchovies, small, you know, the little deep water baits, you know, the lantern fish and all kinds of other little feed that comes from the deep sea.
Well, what you're saying makes total sense, because from my years on the bait boat, we never caught sardine outside of 150
exactly.
feet. It's all in shallow.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe outside of 150 feet, but it's always a beach style of fish.
That's
like
right.
The majority of what we caught was in from the surf line to 60 feet of water. Like, it's all in shallow.
And did they live their whole life up in the shallows like that?
They must. I mean, that's...
But the sardines, yeah. They start offshore small, but they come into the shallows. I don't want to go too far outside.
You don't want to get all...
I don't know a lot about the biology, life history.
Right.
Sardines, but, you know, talk to me about tuna, I'm your guy.
Yeah, exactly.
but you made a really good point,
yeah.
Because all of that offshore bait is small.
Right.
So, you know, it stands to reason, you know, you sit there and go, well, why the hell would a big one, or why the hell these tuna like these little sardines over the big ones? It's because what they're familiar with.
No, it's definitely good information.
Hatch, as they say.
And this part of the show, I want to remind you, sponsored by Terrafin Sea Service Temperature Charts. Focus your fishing on the most productive areas by using Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature, chlorophyll, currents, and more. And with Terrafin Mobile, you can access your charts on your phone or your mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. And when we return, we're going to be talking all this good fishing on the Let's Talk Cook About the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Today, more than ever, outside special interest groups want to close access to California sport fishing. Don't let this happen. Join Coastal Conservation Association of California and fight back. CCA California is your voice, your advocate for ocean fishing access. We fight the outside special interests so you, your kids, and their kids can fish for generations to come. Visit ccacalifornia.org and join the fight against more fishing closures.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water, the culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life, to achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide, rule the water.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.